Good morning, everyone. Really, really great to be here together this morning. Thank you for joining us. In this early part of the year, we have launched into a series that we've titled Starting Strong. And we have talked about what it is like to have a strong family. How do we use our words? Both in church, at home, in our workplaces, how can we be speech or word strong? We have talked about last Sunday, lordship strong. How do we once again recalibrate our understanding of who Jesus is? And especially we looked at the passage, what we call the final discourse before he began his journey heading into the cross, and talked about how Jesus promised us that in this life we're going to have a lot of tribulation, a lot of troubles. Life is difficult, and many of us even this morning are very heavy-hearted with some of your tribulations and challenges. And yet Jesus reminds us that in him we can have peace because he has overcome the world, and we explored in depth that word overcome. What does that exactly mean? We even looked at the Nike symbol, right, and things like that. So we had a great time last Sunday. Today we want to continue the series. We'll probably have one final message next week. Today I'd like to talk about Sabbath strong. Sabbath strong. From Exodus 20, 8 to 11. We'll look at actually a lot of scripture. We're basically going to be doing kind of an in-depth study, a little bit of a Bible study up here, but I hope that this will be a great blessing for you and your families, and you'll learn something, and you'll also meet Jesus in the midst of looking at his word. Exodus 28 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is God's word. I want to begin with something that all of us probably could shout a hearty amen in response, that one of our greatest needs is rest. And amen. I think all of us can resonate with that. Adele Calhoun, spiritual director, pastor at one of our sister churches, author, thought about our great for need for rest, and she says, our culture accepts that sleep deprivation and running on empty are norms. Living full throttle is expected. You don't need to look far to see how workaholism is compromising our health as well as our relationships. Lack of adequate rest can ruin our families, damage our souls, even kill us. And a lot of us can probably relate on some level and to some measure of her concern expressed about the pace at which so many of us carry in our lives. Some of us are living like this. We are burning the candle from both ends, and it's also burning in between. And that is not a very good way to live. And we're only in the early part of the year with many more months to go. I actually had very little exposure to the importance of Sabbath and rest, and didn't really encounter how important this topic is until I was required in our denomination, the ECC, to take a course on importance of vitality and ministry, and it was actually one of the first times I ever was challenged and confronted with a different way to live and how important self-care and rest is in our lives, our ministries, and our families. And often we, especially through the pandemic, have made more aware of the importance of rest and self-care and mental health, and these are all great things. And often, the text that is used when pastors speak on it, when we have Bible studies on it, is this Exodus passage, and rightfully so. We see it modeled in our Lord, in our God's life, his ministry in creation, taking this day of rest. But thinking through a little bit more carefully on this passage in particular, it does raise some questions that I want to address in this topic of understanding what does the Bible really have to say about the importance of Sabbath and being Sabbath strong in our lives. And often it really is relegated to looking at this passage and saying, well, God worked hard for 6 days, and the seventh day he rested, so we're certainly not God. We have our limits, so we work hard, and then we need Sabbath rest in our lives because God modeled it. He also rested. But it does raise a few questions. If God is God, and he's infinite in his power, in his omnipotence, omniscience, all the hard words that we can think of theologically, if he is infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful, all those things, did he really need a break to take a nap? Some of us will say, well, probably after creating the world and all of humanity, the cosmos, yeah, I think I would be a little bit tired. But that's really the question. What exactly does the Bible mean when it says that on the seventh day he rested? And sometimes we put back on God our understanding of ourselves, that we often get tired and we need a break. But what is really going on here when on the seventh day he rested? Was he tired? Was he exhausted? Did he need some extra Z's and some self-care? Is that really what our Exodus passage is talking about? And I would say yes, but maybe not exactly. And that's what we want to look at today. Secondly, as we explore what exactly is going on here, our rest is rooted in God's rest. Our rest is rooted in God's rest. So yes, when we look at the pattern of God working in creation, and then after 6 days of creating the world, the cosmos, everything, humanity, he rested. And so yes, there is a pattern that is commanded by God for us to model after, to have Sabbath in our lives, to rest. But the question is, and what remains is, what exactly is going on here when God took a break or rested? Genesis 2, once again, going back to the Old Testament, reminds us of this. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And once again, I want to press the question, what does it mean that God rested from his work? And I think that is critically important for us to really understand what Sabbath rest is to us. And I would like to propose this morning that it's not that God needed a break. It's not that he needed to do self-care. It's not that he needed to take a nap and that he was tired, for he is God. He's infinite in his power and resources. So it's not that. But often we equate, well, he rested, so we need to rest, and we need to take a break, just as God did. But there's a lot more going on here. Last year, or maybe a year and a half ago, we went through the Blue Parakeets teachings by Scott McKnight. And one of the things that really profoundly helped me and was an important reminder that I shared with you was that the Bible was written for all of us, all humanity, across all time, all cultures, all space, but it wasn't necessarily written to us directly, in that we were not the original recipients of His Word. We live in modern times. We live here in America. We live here in New England, here in Connecticut. So the Bible was written for us and all humanity. It's transcultural, yes, but it wasn't written directly to us. We were not the intended original audience to receive His Word, but certainly, once again, lest I get some angry emails, it was written for us. And so the question is, how are we to understand this rest that God did on the seventh day? If we were the ancients, the original intended audience to receive His Word, how would they have understood what is going on here? That is a question, and once we can answer that, then as we search the Scriptures, we can have, I think, a much more deeper, more accurate, more life-transforming understanding of Sabbath in our own lives. So are you curious to know what that is? Yes, I hope so, because this was fascinating to me as I studied this recently. The readers from the ancient world would have recognized this creation account. And when you look at creation accounts from other ancient cultures and their stories, there's a lot of similarities. Their understanding of themselves, the world of deity, of the supernatural, were very, very similar, though, of course, the Jewish faith would have had elements that were radically different from their Canaanite counterparts as well. But the ancients would have read this, and they would have said, you know what? The first 6 days are really important, but the seventh day was the most important of all. This was the high point. This was the climax of all that was happening in that first week of creation. Day seven. And that's something that I didn't really think about. I always thought, well, the world, space, the firmament, the vegetation, and then, of course, humanity, God's creating of Adam and Eve, the first family. Those are important. And then seventh day, well, He just took a break, took a long deserved nap. But the ancients would have said, wow, we know what's going on here. All the first 6 days were just a prelude to the high point of creation, which was day seven. What is going on here? The ancient readers would have known that deity only rests in the temple, the holy place, a place of divine rest. And this is where the Hebrew term Shabbat comes from. Sabbath, coming from the word ceasing, coming to an end. So what is going on here? What is going on here is that, and we'll put this, kind of try to capture this, that ancients would have, can we put that slide on? Ancient people understood rest more as a state of stability and calm as opposed to chaos and disorder. As God was creating and forming and shaping and bringing purpose to all the elements of our universe, our world, our galaxy, planet Earth, Eden, family, the human order, the animals, as He was creating functionality and purpose in how they related to one another, the ancients understood that when that was all done, the day of rest was not a break, but rather the day of rest is when the temple was finally created and the deity, the true king, would finally enter into that temple to take rule and reign and control of His kingdom. That is what rest is about. And so often we think it's just he's taking a nap. No, day seven, as the world is God's temple, as Eden is that holy of holy place, when you read the tabernacle instructions of the Jewish temple, it is chock full of imagery from the Garden of Eden. Eden was that central place as earth in relationship, the entire universe was God's temple. And day seven was not a long extended nap, but once everything was in order, when chaos and craziness was now under the control of God the Creator, when he entered his day of rest, it means that he took his proper place to command, to rule, and to reign over his kingdom and the entire world. That's pretty interesting, Pastor. Can you show us from Scripture? Well, let's do that. And before we dive into some more Scripture, thirdly, in light of that truth and understanding, we can rest because God takes care of all the rest. Amen? We can rest because God, when he entered into his temple and he rested on that seventh day, he is taking his proper place as ruler and king of all the universe, of the heavens and the earth. And in that truth, we can rest when we are in him. Psalm 132, 7 through 14. We'll skip a few verses. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool, saying, arise, Lord, and come to your resting place, you in the ark of your might. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling, saying, this is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will what? Sit enthroned, for I have desired it. Once again, the picture of rest is not God taking a break so that we can take a break, but it is once everything is now under the lordship and power and influence of God the Creator, rest as he now enters into his throne room. And now he rules and he reigns over all that he has created and made. That is an ancient understanding of rest when it comes to God. And here we have it, resting place. I will sit enthroned, ruling and reigning over all that he has made. It is about enthronement. It is about lordship. And unlike our kings, our rulers from ancient times till now, God rules and reigns in his goodness and his grace, his majesty, his love, his power, and his beauty. The next verses in Psalm 132, after God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor will I satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints will sing for joy. This has always been part of God's original intention and plan, that his kingdom, his rule, his reign was given so that we could find our rest, that we could find our peace, knowing that he will take care of all the rest. I don't have to carry the world on my shoulders and control things. He does it all. And out of his goodness, he doesn't torment us, abuse us. He doesn't use his power to reign and rule over us as a dictator. But ultimately, even in verses 15 and 16 of Psalm 132, to bless us, to satisfy us, that we would sing for joy. Isaiah 66:1, once again, the Lord says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest? Can you see these themes coming together? It's not just a little building that God contains himself in, but all the world is his temple, and Eden is the center of that temple that we were created to enjoy, to rule, to reign, and experience the beauty and the kindness of our God. This was Eden. But we rejected God's Sabbath over our lives. We mounted the throne ourselves and tried to create our own understanding of Sabbath and rest, where the world is reigned by us rather than God. And when we are not careful, this is what we inevitably slip into when we forget about God's original intention and plan to sit enthroned and to rule and reign in his kindness, his goodness, his control and power. And so this morning, as we begin to start landing the plane here, fourthly, similar to my challenge last Sunday, find your rest in Jesus. Find your rest in Jesus. Seeing God's bleeding heart for his people to find that Sabbath rest, knowing that he is on the throne, inviting them to be part of his kingdom, where he will take care of all the rest, and they merely have to enjoy his rule and reign in their lives. Here Jesus comes, and with that same message, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One understanding and reframing, therefore, of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God is on a mission to return us to the Sabbath, back to the garden, where we can experience true rest for our souls when we know that there is one who loves us and is in control of all things, even when things seem so chaotic and out of control in our lives. This is why our rest is rooted in a proper understanding of God's rest on day seven. And God constantly is inviting us into that Sabbath rest, reminding us that he is king of all. He is the Lord. He is in control. He will take care of all the rest. Hebrews 4 reminds us, pursue Sabbath rest in your lives. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. We are challenged and invited to re-enter the Sabbath rest of God, to pursue Sabbath rest in our lives. Be diligent, make every effort to enter that rest, that God is the one in control, not you and I. It is only there, then, that we can experience the Sabbath rest that he so desires. Because at the heart of Sabbath, and why it is so hard to really pursue true Sabbath rest, it's much more than just taking a vacation or sitting on a beach or reading a book or taking a nice extended nap. Ooh, those things sound so good. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But it has to be more than just that. At the heart of true biblical Sabbath is a reminder of what God is doing in our lives is far more important than what we ourselves are doing in our lives. It is essential to take ourselves out of the control seat, the driver's seat, the throne of our lives, and be reminded that God ultimately is in control. Eugene Peterson reflected on the Sabbath And he writes this, and let me share this with you. He put it so succinctly, so well. Sabbath is about uncluttered time and space to detach ourselves from the people around us so that we have a chance to deal with God without our poking around and kibitzing. They need to be free from depending on us. They need to be free from our guidance that always tends toward manipulation, separating ourselves from the people who are clinging to us, from the routines to which we are clinging for our identity, and offering them all up to God in praise. You see, Sabbath rest is an opportunity to truly practice what all of us love in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The heart of Sabbath rest can be captured in a singular command. Be still and know that I am God. Sabbath is taking a break from being in control of our lives and over the lives of others, and learning to entrust those we most care about to God Himself, who is in control, who knows far more than us. And when things don't make sense, that we can still be still and know that He is God. Though the mountains be shaken, Isaiah 54:10, and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Adele Calhoun goes on in her reflection on the Sabbath that we were not made to work 24/7. We have limits. She writes, there is a finiteness to our time and energy, and to live as though there isn't is destructive as well as delusional. It can be hard to tell the truth about our human capacity and limits because few of us want to accept the losses that come with this truth. We can't say yes to everything. We can't go everywhere and see everyone. We can't have it all. We aren't indispensable. We are finite beings who need rest. And that is not a bad thing. It's a God-like thing. Rest can be a spiritual act, a truly human act of submission to and dependence on God, who watches over all things as we rest, knowing that He will take care of all. You see, what's fascinating when we look at Genesis in the days of creation, each of the first 6 days had a beginning and then it had an end. But the pattern is broken for day seven, because unlike all the other days, day seven does not have an ending. It goes on and on and on, because it is a reflection of the power and goodness of God and His offering, His gospel to us, to come and find rest for your souls. Day seven does not end, and we find it in the person of Jesus. Let me share with you one final thought as we bring our time to a close from John Walton, who has really impacted my understanding of Genesis and creation. If some of you wish to read it, go for it. You may want to throw stones at me because it will upend a lot of your understanding of traditional understanding of Genesis. I found it fascinating and really has reshaped a lot of my thinking on this. And he says this on the lost world of Genesis, and we'll end with this. When we rest on the Sabbath, we recognize Him as the author of order and the one who brings rest, stability to our lives and world. We take our hands off the control of our lives and acknowledge Him as the one who is in control. Sabbath is for recognizing that it is God who provides for us and who is the master of our lives and our world. It is the way that we acknowledge that God is on the throne, that this world is His world, that our time is His gift to us. It is big picture time, and the big picture is God. That is the essence of Sabbath rest, to remember that we are not on the throne of our lives or our families, but it is God. And just as He approached His throne on day seven, not to take a nap, not just to do self-care, but to rule and reign rightfully as Lord of all over His creation, His kingdom, and this world that He created in days 1-6. Sabbath rest understands that and acknowledges once again that He is in control. As John Walton says, it is big picture time, and that big picture is God. And so, yes, self-care is important. Mental health is important. It's not either or. We need to practice good practices that bring us rest and life. But as you do that, may it be with the clear vision of seeing God on the throne, who is in control of all things, ruling and reigning in His goodness, His grace, His power, that He knows better than us when we can't make sense of our lives and the challenges and tribulations we are going through. It is a time that we pull ourselves out of the equation and once again are reminded that, God, I can rest because I do not have to be like Atlas carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders, but You have already done it, and I trust in You, though I may not always understand. This is the heart of Sabbath rest, and this is what Jesus invites us to today as we reminded of His words, "Come to Me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's pray together. Forgive us, Lord, that we often forget this magnificent and piercing truth that we aren't God. Thank You, Lord, that You do not delight when we are overexerting ourselves, running around like crazy, thinking that the world will collapse if we don't keep the plate spinning. Thank You that You love us so much, that You pursue us, that we could find true Sabbath rest in our lives. For those who are weary and tired and on the verge of burnout, may I invite you to pray with me. Lord, I am so tired. I need real rest. I want to receive this gift of rest for my life and soul as I learn to trust in You. You are the King, and You are my Savior. Help me to know that You are carrying the weight of my world on Your shoulders. Thank You for this offer of rest for my life. Lord, You know the weight that we are carrying this morning. May we, by faith, once again take a step back and to enter into a Sabbath rest, to have big picture time, which is You. We give You thanks, Father. We worship You. We thank You. Help us to find rest, for we are in desperate need of it. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we will continue our worship with a time of giving. We know many of you give digitally, online, so we appreciate that so much. And as we later today celebrate all our volunteers, God is doing such amazing things here at Trinity. Your giving allows us to be able to continue to build and allow people to experience the Sabbath rest of God in their lives. Also, if you are new and visiting us and you have a prayer request, maybe you prayed that prayer for the first time in your life, let us know that. Just jot something down on that connection card, put that into the offering bag. And once again, after every service, we have members of our prayer team to my right that are eager to pray with you, to talk with you, to listen to you, to cry with you, to hug you, whatever you may need. And so if you have prayed that prayer, if you're not sure where you're at, we invite you to come meet with one of our prayer team members, share with them what is going on in your life. We'd love to be able to minister to you personally in that way. Thank you so much.
Sing.
Christ, our hope and life and death. Ever we confess, Christ, our hope and life and death. Now receive our closing prayer and benediction that you will find rest for your souls, for you who are weary and heavy laden. Know that God is in control, and in his goodness, may you experience rest and life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God bless you all. Thank you so much for joining us today.